On today's show, Josh Bass and Marcus Barahal break down the surprising Iman Shumpert cut and how the rotation is going to look upon Kyrie Irving and Caris LeVert's return coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Your host, Josh Bass, here with Marcus Barahal for the source of your daily Brooklyn Nets news. It's going to be a quick news catch-up today. Going to be talking about the surprising Iman Shumpert cut, some Caris LeVert potential progress, at least, in his return to the court, and what we think the lineup is going to look like upon the return of him and also the much-awaited return of Kyrie Irving. But Marcus, first, the Shumpert news. So Wilson Chandler has returned from his 25-game suspension. The Nets had an open roster spot, or the ability to fill the roster spot while he was suspended. And kind of the few games before this, there was a lot of talk in Nets land on who was going to get cut. People thought it could be Musa, thought it could be Pinson. Some people said Chandler himself. But no one really said Shumpert, given his surprisingly good play for the Nets and someone that really was able to give them a spark, especially on the defensive end. Were you as surprised as I was?
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. Like you said, like Shumpert's numbers don't necessarily jump out of the box score in the time that he's played, partially just because he was only playing about 18 minutes a game. But like you said, his impact on the defensive end was definitely felt by the team, and like just the energy he was bringing overall, because the Nets were kind of stuck in mud before they brought him in, and that was like, it was like partially like people were blaming Kyrie. There was like a lot of blame going around to various people, but then it felt like whenever he came in off the bench, the energy was there, and at least like the focus on the defensive end was there. So it felt like he was a guy who was kind of like stabilizing the team, at least from that perspective. So it felt a little strange to me to cut him, but maybe they're thinking that a guy like David Nwaba, who has gotten a little bit more run the last few games, maybe they're thinking he can bring a lot of what Shumpert was bringing, which is kind of what you and I had talked about earlier, as like before they had Shumpert, a guy who could bring that type of energy and that type of style of play to the team. So maybe they think he can fill that. They definitely seem like they want to keep those young players, like you mentioned, on the roster. Even a guy like Rhodey Krugs, who like hasn't been playing, but they decided to keep him also. So it seems like they're going young, and like they're just relying on the fact that, I don't know, maybe Shumpert wasn't playing a super huge role, so they think that it can be pretty easily replaced.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. I think Nwaba definitely gives a lot of that same zest on the defensive end and create a lot of turnovers, which is really the main thing Shumpert was doing, averaging one steal a game and about 18 or 19 minutes a game. And this was for a Nets team that, when he joined, they were last in the league at creating turnovers, and we talked that they don't really have any of those dynamic athletes on the perimeter when they were playing LeVert, Spencer, and Kyrie. I guess LeVert might fall a little bit into that category, but no one that was really going to create havoc on the defensive end. And yes, I get it. Shumpert, I mean, shot horribly from the field and from three when he was a Net, but I think a lot of that was due to circumstance. And yes, he shot poorly from three with Houston last year also, and that was one of the big reasons why they didn't bring him back. But you know, he was asked to do a lot on this Nets team, and just given that the second unit is pretty barren as far as creators go, and he's someone that he's played with the Kyrie Irving, he's played with guys like LeBron James, he knows how to play off superstars, and he knows he's not going to be the man when Kyrie and Caris return. And if that bumps Spencer back to the second unit, obviously he'll defer. But he was kind of creating shots out of necessity. So I get that they didn't go in, but I don't know. I think he was a good veteran presence to have. He's someone that was lauded in the Kings locker room last year. So definitely a surprising decision. Because, I mean, like, Pinson to me is he's 24, so he doesn't have that much potential left. I think he kind of is what he is at this point. And he's god-awful, and he doesn't really have a role on this team. I mean, was it the last game against Charlotte where he had a really good first half that kind of saved his job?
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, he, like you said, he had 12 points in that game, shot the ball efficiently. But yeah, prior to that, he didn't really do much. I don't know if it's maybe, I mean, like, it's a big chemistry thing, obviously, keeping him around. He's, like, pretty much the only holdover from that, like, great bench celebration group that the Nets had last year. But that feels like, I don't know, like it's the NBA. Like you kind of need guys who can play over guys who are just like nice people. So
you need a mix.
Yeah, and you need both. Also, but
I think, yeah, maybe the Pinson thing, I think people were saying that maybe they release him and then re-sign him to a two-way. Apparently that's illegal per the CBA. So it was kind of an all or nothing thing with Pinson. And maybe they felt that he had more to his development story. I don't necessarily agree, but Sean Marks has certainly proven me wrong many times in the past, and he will again in the future. I'm just not sure it's the this is one of those times where he will prove me wrong. But let's get to another guy, Caris LeVert. He is started non-contact work, so obviously he dislocated his foot about 5 weeks ago. The Nets gave a timeline of 4 to 6 weeks. In usual Nets fashion, we haven't really heard much of a peep on anything, but he has started non-contact work, so maybe he'll be back in the next kind of 10 days to 2 weeks range. Is that reasonable, Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, it was, what was it, like about a month ago. And it was, we said it was similar to that injury that Spencer Dinwiddie had last year, just with the same thing with the thumb. So it's an injury that hopefully you can like keep your conditioning up with, just because it's not like a lower body thing, so you can still do cardio and whatnot. So hopefully it shouldn't take him too long to get back into game shape once he is back.
Yeah, so still waiting on him and Kyrie Irving, and obviously now Wilson Chandler's in the rotation. I mean, how do you see Chandler playing a lot at all? Like, are they going to try to ease him back? I'm interested to know what his role is going to be.
Yeah, I think he will play. I think it would have been the minutes that Shumpert would have gotten, I think, are now probably going to go to him. And I think Pinson's going to fall out of the rotation, obviously, like once all three are back. I think the guys, because they played 10 guys in the Hornets game, all the starters, those guys are obviously still going to play. DeAndre Jordan is still going to play. I think Pinson and Shumpert's obviously out of the rotation now. Pinson will be out of the rotation.
It would be weird if he stayed in.
And then, yeah. And then I don't know who it'll be between Musa and Nwaba for that last spot. I hope it's Nwaba, but I do think Chandler will play. I think he'll probably play around like 15 minutes to start. And then maybe if he plays well, maybe he becomes a guy like Garrett Temple who can kind of play more than I think you and I expected, where Temple's been playing, definitely due to injury, but he's been playing like 30 plus minutes a game over this recent stretch, and he's been playing really well. So I think Chandler will probably be eased in just because he hasn't, or I guess he could be in game shape. I'm not expecting it, but yeah, I definitely think he'll be in the rotation for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like he's the type, like these things happen often where you have a veteran coming back from injury, or in suspension in this case, and he's someone that people are pretty bullish on. But ultimately, like Wilson Chandler, I think he's been a very good player and had a good career. But at this point, how much is he helping a team? And he's someone kind of like, he can get shots off, but he's not going to raise your ceiling at all. He's has decent size and can still move his feet a little bit, but he's never been a great defender. So I don't know how much value he's going to add to this existing Nets team when you already have guys like Torian Prince that can do that. So I think rotation, I mean, for the starters, I'd say it's tough because Dinwiddie's played so well that you don't want to bring him back to the bench, but mm-hmm. I think it's probably the most likely move. They're not going to want to punish Caris that way, and I think the bench unit with just Caris leading it's probably worse off than it's if it's just Spencer. So maybe the starting five is the same that it was to start the year, where it's Kyrie, Caris, Joe Harris, Caris and Harris, I like that rhyming, Torian Prince, and then Jarrett Allen. And then the core bench guys, obviously DeAndre Jordan is going to be the backup five. You have Dinwiddie there, who's going to be that third guard, still probably playing 30 minutes a night or so. It might even play more than Caris when it comes down to it, and certainly in crunch time. Garrett Temple, he's been playing great. You're going to have him there. Throw Chandler in a little bit, and I think Nwaba. So I think I just don't see a huge role for Musa right now because, you know, he likes to shoot. You have plenty of guys that can do that. Because Joe Harris, think about how good he's been offensively, and now he's going to see his shot load decrease because you have Kyrie and Caris coming back.
Yeah, same thing probably with Torian Prince. But, yeah, the guard rotation is going to be interesting to see. I think it maybe even partially depends which of LeVert and Kyrie is able to come back first. Because, like, if LeVert is able to come back before Kyrie is, I know they're, like, kind of at the same stage right now, but if he comes back and he doesn't look great, like him and Dinwiddie playing alongside each other. I wonder if they do move him to the bench after that. But it seems like he's, I mean, like he's the younger guy. You have more like long-term faith in him, I think, than Dinwiddie. So I wonder if they're worried about like messing with his confidence or anything like that.
Do you? I mean, listen, he's like, he's 24 years old at this point. I don't know. I think he's definitely someone that's going to need to get eased back. I mean, you remember how much I was, he's 25 actually, so he's only a year younger than Spencer. Remember how much I was railing on Karis last year when he came back from obviously that big injury, and he was just god awful for probably those first 15 or 20 games when he was back, and really only turned it on in the playoffs. So I would expect, obviously probably not something so drastic, but definitely I think he's gonna, it's not like he's gonna come back in and pick it up right away.
Right. I do think that this injury is one that's easier to come back from than the one that he had last year, but yeah, for some reason, like even though, like you said, they're about the same age, I feel like Dinwiddie is much closer to a finished product, which probably speaks to his like great work ethic and that kind of thing, but also means that LeVert has more like mystery, I think, attached to what he could be down the road.
Yeah, because he's never on the court. He never plays.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's really the big mystery behind him. I think also the way that they were drafted. I mean, you have Dinwiddie, who was a second rounder, bounced around a few teams before getting plucked by the Nets out of the G League, and then you have Karis, who's someone first round pick by the Nets, homegrown guy, and someone that they've we wanted to succeed for the last five seasons, basically.
Yeah, that's I mean, they have completely different like expectations coming in, and it's it's interesting because Dinwiddie definitely has like outplayed him like pretty much constantly, and is still the guy coming off the bench, which speaks to his like humility and like willingness to accept that role. But
absolutely. No, so that'll do it for today's show. It's a quick episode. We're brought to you by Spotify Wrapped. If you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Nets and also at Locked On Live on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. We'd love to see what you guys are listening to with us and our friends on the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us. The Nets have a big game in Toronto on Saturday. We'll be back to record after that and share with you some thoughts on hopefully a exciting Nets win. But if not, we'll break it down and why they should have won or all that jazz. Follow Marcus on Twitter at Marcus Barahal. I am at JMBass_. The podcast is at the aforementioned Locked On Nets. And until next time, be well.
Bye.